What's wrong? Growth hormones not kicking in yet?
No, the doctor says I'm making good progress. It's just there's a woman out there I want, and I can't have her.
Oh, just try a different escort service.
I'm sure she'll be 18 someday.
She overinflated her and she popped?
Anything?
Nothing.
Poor little heart.
I actually believe him.
The couples don't know how lucky you have it. Look at you two. Sharing sandwiches. It's like you're sharing your souls.
Hey, this new Russell's not working for me.
You know, the worst part is, Timmy asked me to look after and take her around today because he's busy.
You're actually, getting to know her might solve your problem.
How's that?
You never like a woman once you've gotten to know her.
Yeah, you're Russell. You don't have feelings for women.
Just, like, use them.
Yeah, you strip them of their clothes, their dignity, and their self-esteem.
You know, after 5 minutes, you'll be off her and back on the skank train.
Yeah.
Thanks, guys. I hope you're right. All aboard skank train. Woo-woo.
How many ways to love you?
Hey, Chief Justice Michael Staley here with another visit to the DVD Verdict Audio Archives. This particular clip is from March of 2009 and a set visit to the perennial CBS mid-season replacement sitcom Rules of Engagement, which happens to film right down the street here at Sony Studios in Culver City. I had the opportunity to interview each member of the cast just prior to the premiere of Season 3, and this clip is about 20 minutes with David Spade. Very open, very honest, and very funny. So okay. Let's get right to it.
You guys want to work in a half day today?
Only shoot one scene for your
speech. Can you hear that?
Yep.
Well, these days are tricky because we pre-shoot and just can't judge how long it'll take. So if you're not in them, it's good and bad because I'm not in them, so I get to come in late. But tomorrow I have every scene that I'm in because they get these out of the way. So tomorrow will be like scene to scene to scene instead of get one or two out of the way today, and then tomorrow's a little lighter. But they still don't really count as problems.
So what's the division between pre-shoots and live audience tapings?
Well, it's pretty much the same. They just have to guess where the laughs are.
Okay.
They'll play it back in front of the crowd. Sometimes you see like a big dead spot, or we waited too long between jokes, or this joke kind of clanked. So they'll, because they play it in front of the crowd, you know, in real time, but only once. So you get one shot at going, okay, well, that didn't work exactly well, or that's perfect. We should give a little more air for that laugh kind of thing. But overall, to do them, the only problem is they take their time because the crowd's not waiting.
Yeah.
So, like, today they're not even halfway. I mean, they're halfway, but it's like they're supposed to be done before lunch every week. And we have to block every other scene. Let me turn this off because some of my constituents are getting to me. Oh no, what time is it? Is it after 2?
Yeah, yeah. It's after 2.
2:11.
Okay.
So do you guys do your table read? Is kind of pre-shoot built into the script, or they decide that what they want to, you know, certain scenes are going to work better in pre-shoot then?
Well, I think it's more that they decide how complex they are.
Okay.
There's a ton of extras, or if it's going to be a hassle, it's better to get out of the way today. Or if it's really dinky, like in a hallway, they sometimes knock it out. Just whatever it is, just to make tomorrow easier. Sometimes you only have somebody for one day, so get them in and get them out.
How's the season going?
Season, I would say the general feeling is it's going a little better than last year, which makes it sound like last year wasn't good, but that's not really what I mean. It means I'm just glad it's kind of staying funny to me because they're coming up with kind of quirky, weird ideas. And I was on Just Shoot Me, you know, and there's sometimes you go a few shows where you go, okay, these aren't our best, but we got to do 100 of them, 150 of them. Yeah. So they're not all going to be winners, but we started off this year coming out with solid ones, so morale is kind of up, but we're not in the air, so it's a little odd. You want to see them and then go get feedback, but we're in kind of a interesting situation I'm not totally used to.
Yeah. Is there an underdog mentality for you guys to try and prove something?
Well, I never really know what the thinking is, other than I'm a hired hand, so either way I come in and try to do my best. And went to the big CBS Monday night comedy party and was like, you know, I'm not even part of it, technically. We were, but I'm a company man. The shows are funny, and I think eventually everything will be fine. So I don't want to be kind of a prick about it now, you know? Hi. So it's more like just do our best stuff, do good shows, and things will fall where they may. The only problem with that CBS party is you don't want to look around hoping someone's show doesn't work. You know, it's just a weird position to be in because everyone's cool. Shows are funny, like worst week. I read good reviews. So, you know, that's a spot where we used to be, so it's a weird position to be in. But I just read that it's pretty funny, so who knows? I think you just have to learn to sit down and shut up and say, when they need you, they'll tell you. And the good thing is we are shooting. So we're shooting and we're doing good shows, so we are ready. I think I would be more stressed if we were waiting to even shoot.
Okay.
You know what I mean? So I don't really think people, meaning CBS, don't like the show. I don't think that. I think it's the Arizona Cardinals where you got Kurt Warner and Matt Leinart, and you got someone's got to take the bench, and someone goes in, and the next week they switch to see how it goes. So it's just those things are over my head. So I just sit back and get my scale plus 10, do my job. Is that what I get? But that aside, every day coming to work is a good, normal, fun thing. So we're that part. It's surprising that we're not on, but everyone's in good moods around here.
Are the scripts coming together this season?
That's what is the good part. You know, ultimately, that's what matters. So they throw us on with bad shows. Nobody wants that. So we at least feel like, okay, we're loading up and we're ready. And it is it's now that we're in this position, it's not a bad position because we'll go in somewhere for some reason. Doesn't mean the show's bad. It just means maybe they give it a breather, and whatever the reason is, we'll go in, and I think we will at least have the shows. Doesn't mean we'll always do well. We don't know, but at least we'll have shows, and we did okay last year. So I think there's still people. You just don't want to go too long. You know, like Heroes, some of those shows stay away for a year and a half, or like Private Practice. I think what they wanted to do is go, we have a great show, and here's a new one.
Right.
But it turned into a hit. Okay, wait. And then they're like, was Kate Walsh on Grey's Anatomy? You know what I mean? That's what they don't want.
Well, we were talking about Rescue Me, too, on FX, which had gone away for, what, a year and a half?
So you're not
And I don't get that, really. I mean, sometimes the things are so complicated above your head, but they have to remember that the important person is the one at home going, where's the show I like? And if you like Rescue Me, you go, I might give up on it because I might start getting into some other show and I don't, maybe come back. I don't know. You know how it is. So it's hard up there at the top to make those decisions, and they do their best. Things fall where they may.
But if the work speaks for itself, people are going to come back.
Right. I also know that CBS has people here dressed as like janitors to check out the show. No, they're out in the open, but they come to read-throughs and stuff, so I think even they know that it's going fine over here, so they're reporting back like when you need it, they're ready to put some good episodes out.
We're seeing some growth too. Jimmy Russell's bed last season, we got Russell's apartment
Then there's we have a few characters that have come back this year. Orlando has come back, and They get me an assistant this year.
Oh, yeah?
Because I'm all excited to look at the casting couch, but it's all dudes.
I was here for that taping.
Oh, yeah, that, yeah, because I'm not allowed to hire girls anymore because of some legal stipulations. I go, I thought they were kidding. They go, that 16-page document that was hand-delivered. I thought it was funny. So I have to hire a guy, and he's from South Africa. It's actually an interesting casting because I think I will do better when I'm playing off different situations. And Farley, of course, is kind of a big guy. Even those Capital One commercials, like a young guy, but he's high energy and kind of tubby. And then tall is funny, or a girl, anything different. Wendy Malick was funny with me because she's tall and a girl, and she's smart alecky, and she was funny to go back and forth. So anything that's kind of the opposite, and this kid is like younger and he's South African, and it's just kind of a happy accident that he's funny against, you know what I mean?
Yeah.
And I get to run the show, which is nice, is now and then on the show I don't want it to be all about chasing girls or whatever, you know, Russell. So it's funny to put me in a position where it's just more of an authority joke where I've got the power over this kid and he doesn't really know how to, he's got an MBA from Harvard, he doesn't really know why he's doing this job. So I kind of bully him around and it's dumb. But that was probably my favorite show so far this year. And the other good thing is we do these shows and you just basically like line them up in order of funny and go, that one's first, that one's second. You don't just air it, you know, shoot it and throw it on, shoot it and throw it on. You can kind of edit a little longer or sift or tweak. I heard that this week we were going to shoot a scene from next week's show. Those things are always good, you know, give everything a little more time, give everything a little tweak and pull and tug and hope it all comes out.
Is there a... There seems to be on camera an interesting banter between you and Patrick. How much of that is scripted and how much are you guys allowed to play it off?
Well, we try to... again, that's another big guy that's just different than me. Yeah. And he's got even a different delivery and a different tone. And so his kind of comedy is like on 33 and a third, you know? That old record player, and mine's on 78. So to match him is... It can be interesting. And when I was signing up to do this, obviously I had hundreds of offers. Let's put that in there. No, I had done. I was working at Okie Dog. But I just thought when things come up, you kind of look at it and get either a hunch or a feeling for it. And I thought Patrick was one of the big reasons to come on because it's competitive in the shows. And as funny as I think I am, as great as I think I am, it's sometimes not enough. You know, I think you need someone like Patrick who's really funny. And then you put me in with him. And then you put the other couple. And the idea to me was kind of funny, two couples and this and this. And then Sandler was involved in this end, and then CBS. So, you in the writing, you kind of have to go in with as many things as possible to even have a chance. Because if not, you can get slaughtered easily. I mean, they spend so much money and have these shows and they go away and you just go, what a brutal biz. If you're not hitting right away, if people aren't biting, it rarely goes up.
Yeah.
It rarely starts trending. Oh my God, everyone, we're adding viewers every week in our horrible show. So I know that it's big money and they don't have time. So for me, I was kind of thinking about doing a show and stuff and then just kind of seeing what was up and then... Developing is always a little tricky because there's so many mistakes along the way. And this was more of a just shoot me thing where it was already kind of set. Could I picture myself in there? And I could. So it was just taking a character that I've played a version of before and try to make it somehow a little different, a little older, a little more chauvinist, a little more sleazy instead of Finchy, which was a little like feminine. And I mean... Let's don't kid ourselves. It's about the same thing. But I'm trying to make it. There's a little things, and I'm a little different and older. So that's it. So it's really like De Niro. I just take on different parts. I disappear.
Well, coming off of Eight Simple Rules, which the pairing with James Garner, the two of you guys played brilliant.
Another tricky little accident that turned into be funny. Yeah.
Yeah.
You'd think it'd be with the kids, but it was funny with Garner.
Right.
Always giving me shit, and always doing it in real life.
Yeah.
Making fun of me and sitting there smoking and super cool dude that I, you know, and there's also respect there from watching him growing up that I was always like, you know, not tentative around him, but making sure I was say the right things. And he was a good kind of foil for me, both crammed in that house in an odd situation for that show anyway.
Yeah.
That was a kind of a tough decision to go in there, but having Garner and Suzanne Plachet go in first and kind of get that story out of the way and then go in after that under the radar and just be like, I'm a cousin. There's no replacing John Ritter. It's not like that. It was just kind of, if you're going to continue doing the show, it's like a new show. They even talked about changing the name because it's just dicey. Is that disrespectful or is it what, you know, so they didn't ultimately, but it just turned into like all of us now. But there's shows, you know, There's shows I watch on TV. I don't know what's going on. Like Still Standing, or I go, if you could pitch me this show right now, I could not tell you what it's about. Looks like every other show. I mean, people watch it. I guess it's funny. It's just I'm not
went into syndication.
Yeah, it's working, but it's every show USA. Okay, husband and wife fight a little bit. Kids run around. And there's problems and situations.
Yeah.
Okay, what was the pitch? I cannot tell you. I watch some of these and I go, what's the hook on this one? Like sometimes it's like a dead relative and comes in, you come in and this, and you're matched together and you see clearly like, okay, that's the idea of that show. But there's some where I go, even According to Jim does well.
Yeah.
It's like, here's the pitch. I have a sitcom. You know what a sitcom is. You've seen them. And we'll make a best version of that we can, and everyone seems to be very comfortable with it. And you know, ours isn't breaking too many rules, you know what I mean? We're not like the new Curb Your Enthusiasm, whatever, the new show where it's like, oh my god, they really stretch. There's something comfortable, and if you are a sitcom, which is already like a tough thing these days, just try to be a good sitcom. There's no shame in that. It's funny, I watch those shows, I just go, these are working, and I because they always stress, like, what's the hook? Why is yours different? When you're pitching shows, you're like, and you go, it's like that one. How about that? There's my pitch. I'm going to try to make it exactly like that one. And they go, great. Which these could have big backstories, but they get relaxed, you know.
Yeah.
You don't need to re-explain it every week.
Right.
These parents got in a car crash and they're forced to live with their grandkids, you know. Okay. Now it's just a show.
Are you doing much on the development side with Adam or by yourself?
On the what side?
On the development side?
No, TV, no. I just... my buddy did an internet video called Carpet Brothers where I played kind of a weird thing in that. And he might do that for HBO. So if he does that, I might go over there and do a guest star, you know, play what I did on the internet. Just because it's weird and I'm like different, like an older, sleazy carpet owner. It's so dumb. It's actually so dumb, it's perfect for me. And but that's like set in the 70s. It's,
okay.
It's crazy. But I think it's very funny and interesting looking. He did a good job with that. And then there's a Sony movie we actually pitched called Mad Families that we may do in the break. We don't know for sure, but we're in the third rewrite of getting it going, which is kind of... Me and my buddy that wrote Joe Dirt and Dickie Robertson, he actually wrote Tommy Boy. And he just directed House Bunny. So he's kind of in with them right now, and he's blah, boring. But that's all horrible stuff. But the idea is that three families go away for 4th of July, Mexican, white, and black. And they bring their whole families across the country. And when they get there, there's a mix-up, and they have to share one, the last campground.
Oh, no.
The last site. So they no one will go home. So they all cram on it and try to blast their type of music. They all want to get the other one out of there. So it's like a race movie, but a family movie. But we get out like all the things that people kind of want to say.
Right.
But we fix it. You know what I mean? We try to fix it. So it's interesting that fine line of the tone of it's too far or it's not or don't be boring. But so I would be the white family and then we have the other two and then there's a lot of characters in each one. It's like cheaper by the five dozen because there's so many people and then like, you know, then we have to pick, we decide to pick contests to get the other guy off.
Okay.
And the winner gets to kick the other two, make them go. And so, you know, there's jokes like they go shopping and the Mexican guy gets the oranges out and then he goes, wait, I'm not carrying these into the house with everyone watching. And the wife's like, why not? Because you know what they're going to say inside of there. You know what it is? And then they cut to the black guy with the watermelon going, I'm not, why did you even buy this? You think I'm going to carry that into the house? And then he does, and he falls, and he breaks it, and then everyone else laughs. And the Mexican guy's laughing, and then someone stops and goes, hey, I'll give you $4. How much are those? $4? And he's like, no, these aren't for sale. So you dance around all that. And then, but you make it a family comedy, so that's what we've been doing. So it's kind of, race is one of the last things we haven't made fun of, where it's in the air, there's all these gross out dirty movies, there's nowhere else to go, unmined territory, it's just getting it right where this is the hard part. So that's a possibility for some But TV, no, this is TV for me.
Yeah. Well, you had mentioned Chris. Hollywood Wine was a Farley family project, right?
Oh, yeah. Hollywood Wine was Kevin and Johnny did that. And, yeah, I do a scene in that.
Okay.
That was the trick. I don't think I'm starring in it. I read that. And I go, I know those things, how they work, though. But I played it. But, you know, he got all of, like, SNL people, and Norm MacDonald is in it, and Kattan, and Horatio, Chris Parnell, Chaz Palminteri, who's not an SNL guy. But, so he's got some good people in it, and they're finishing it up right now, but that was kind of fun, just because it's giving him a chance to go out there and do a movie.
And he's what, American Carol coming out, right?
Last night, yeah. Friday.
Yeah,
came out.
It?
Saw it this weekend, which is, it's interesting, because it's a political movie. I'm actually, you know, without getting into politics, somewhere in the middle, and so I, it's just harder for me when movies are about politics to be hilarious because, but it's David Zucker, so it's a good, obviously it's a smart guy at the helm, because if you don't like Airplane, you know, it's one of those things where you're like, if you can get near some guy that did something. I saw Harold Ramis the other night, and I just started thinking of all the movies he's connected to that are great. So I had to go up to his table and kiss his ass just because it's too good. I got to let them remind the guy. He's great. We all love him. So it's like that. When someone like Zucker comes up, you jump in and say, let's make this work. But Kevin's doing good. Those guys, they're all out there. You know, Kevin looks more like Chris than his brother, so that's tougher for him.
Yeah.
But I think that American Carol helps him go, Chris never played Michael Moore. This is all about just him and... Mm-hmm. More you can separate, but he's got a tough battle, you know. But look at Jim Belushi. No one mentions John really. I mean, at a certain point, new generation doesn't even know what's going on.
Yeah.
And Jim's making 20 million times more than John ever would. I think John got 40 grand for Animal House. And he only did like 3 movies after, so I don't think he was. Whatever.
You got to get a chance to go out to New York anytime.
I try to avoid it, but I like it when I'm there. I'm just not a big traveler anymore, but got my brother and his wife up there with their niece, so that was my main reason, other than doing Letterman or something. That's usually the only reason I go out there.
Lauren doesn't ask you to come in.
David. No, I hosted twice. I think it would be a possibility to do it again. I just need an excuse. Like, if we knew we were coming on, you can plan that.
Yeah.
Problem with this is if they throw us on in the middle of the year... You have to scramble for Letterman and Leno and sometimes that's tougher. But I think SNL is always... I still talk to Lauren, so that's all fun. I would go visit and watch, but I don't know as much as I used to. Who are you? I know you from TV. I saw Tina at the Emmy, you know, party. I see her. She's always someone I like look up to because she does a good job, so... She's got a lot going. So that's always good. There's always something going on in Saturday Night Live.
Yeah.
90% of it could be bad one week. All you need is one to talk about.
That's right.
And then everyone's like, it's
YouTube.
Great. Yeah. The new world of YouTube.
Any special stunt casting or anything on that show this season?
I don't know. I like that Dennehy was here. That's funny. He was
really?
Just because he was Patrick's dad, but he's my dad on Just Shoot Me, and he was Farley's and Tommy Boy, so...
Yeah. Interesting.
He has a lot to say and catch me up on the old days. I guess I have old days with him. But he's like one of those good, solid, real actors that's good to have around.
Yeah.
Learn something. And that's good. And this is coming on DVD, this show? Is that what the word is?
Next week?
Next Tuesday, yeah.
Oh, it is that quick?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Rules of Engagement, the complete third season, hits DVD on September 14th, and the series returns to CBS for its fifth and potentially first full season on Monday, September 20th. So I thank David for his time, and I would not be a David Spade, Chris Farley fan if I did not go out with a clip from Tommy Boy. So we'll talk to you soon. Take care.
Housekeeping!
No, thank you. Sleeping.
Housekeeping!
You come back in an hour.
Housekeeping, you want towels?
More towels. Need sleepy.
Housekeeping, you want mint for pillow?
Please go away. Let me sleep for the love of God!
come and jerk you off?
What kind of hotel is this?
Oh, it's you.
Good morning, sunshine. I'm gonna go ask directions to our next huge, embarrassing failure.
You're a huge, embarrassing failure.
What?
Nothing.